for announcements. Hopefully you got all those things. Let's go ahead and get started in our lesson this morning in the book of Deuteronomy. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to come to your house, Lord. I pray that today through the, as we look at this book, that we get a good overview of what you're trying to teach us here and what you're trying to teach the nation of Israel. And God, I pray that you work in the hearts and lives of us today. And Lord, we make decisions that want to serve you. And Lord, that even we start getting anxious and interested in what's going on in our missions conference and this upcoming idea of world evangelism, what us do our part too. Lord, I pray that you work today in our church. Help those teachers that are teaching today and help all the pastors and missionaries that are rightly dividing the word of truth today. Lord, I pray that today be a special day. Lord, that we see people saved, not only here, but throughout the world. And Lord, that people commit and want to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Deuteronomy. Let me make sure I turn my phone off. Don't want that to go off on us. There you go. Okay. Book of Deuteronomy. I've enjoyed the first four books as we looked at it, and the book of Deuteronomy, I've enjoyed also looking at. I would encourage you, I'm intended on saying this week after week, if you can, to read the book that we're going to study the following week. You say, wow, a whole book in 1 week. It can be done. It really can. You get to do different portions at different times. You don't have to sit down and read a whole book at one time. If you have that capability, that is a good thing to do. I mean, it's something that if you can sit and read a book in a whole setting, that is something that's interesting you can learn from, but most people can't do that. But I encourage you, so the next one, you read that before we have our next Sunday school. Well, that's an easy one because we won't be going to the next book of the Bible for 2 weeks because of the fact that next week Brother Johnson will be teaching our Sunday school class, and the week after that, one of our missionaries will be teaching the Sunday school class. So it won't be that hard to read the next book of the Bible before. So that way you can understand what we're talking about. So I encourage you to do that. It even give you a chance to get caught up in a couple of the books of the Bible, see what we're studying, what we're teaching, and just give you a better understanding of what's going on. As we learned about in the book of Genesis, we saw God's creation. We saw God, how God started everything. We saw the calling out of the Israelites in the book of Exodus. We saw the redemption, and we saw them with all the different things when it came with Pharaoh and all the different plagues, and then through the Red Sea and Mount Sinai, we saw the giving of the law, and then we saw in Leviticus, we saw how God teaches the people how to be rightly related to him, how people can approach him, how they can worship them. And then we get to the book of Numbers last week, and we saw that how God took them through all those years in the wandering the wilderness because he was trying to teach them something. He was trying to teach them obedience. They need to learn obedience. Come up to the book of Deuteronomy, and the book of Deuteronomy is a little bit different than the other first four books. Book of Deuteronomy mentions something that the other four books really does not talk about. And then this is an important key in our Christian lives. It actually begins to talk a little bit about the love of God. In the first four books, you saw the sovereignty of God all over it. You saw, you do this, you do that, and if you don't, you're going to be punished. But here in the book of Deuteronomy, you have a man who has been walking with the Lord for 80 years. We're talking about Moses. And 80 years he has learned and he's grown and developed in his relationship with God. And here he's sitting down with this group of people. New group. Last group that was there, all dead in the wilderness. Everybody else was 20, and unless they were under 20 or unless they're Joshua or Caleb, they're all gone. So he's teaching them. He's reiterating the law. Many things that you find in Deuteronomy are already repeated already in the first four books. Why in the world is it repeated again? Because Moses, in his experience now, is teaching them something, and he's teaching them about the love of God. I enjoy hearing an older pastor get up there and just talk about the things that God has done in his life. And, you know, at one point in time in his life, he might have been one certain way when he preached, but now you can hear as he preaches, he talks about the love of God and how God has worked and moved and how God has taken care of him over the years. Next week, when you hear Brother Bob Johnson preach, one of the reasons why I like him and I enjoy him and understand him, he's been through so much, and he encourages you because of what God's done for you to serve him. And that's what we need to understand. It's because of the love of God that we need to learn how to obey and how to learn how to obey God. I chose these as the theme verse. There's a lot of different verses you could have chosen. I like this verse. I like the simplicity of it. I like the ideas of it. And it pretty much puts out there our lives and choices we have. Behold, I set before you a blessing and a curse. He said, Pastor, I've heard that verse before, but have you taken it to heart? You know, God is saying, and Moses is saying, under the inspiration of God, or all the years he's learned, he says, look, we've been through this. We've seen all these things happen. I've been with you for 80 years. God is setting before you today a blessing and a curse. And he says, a blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God. He said, I want God to bless my life. Well, Moses here, after all these years and seeing all these things, he says, God wants to bless your life. But if you want God to bless your life, you have to obey him. Says, which I command you this day, and a curse. You know, I don't want God's curse. I don't want the, you know, how does it happen? It says, and a curse, if you will not obey. It says, and a curse if you're some evil, wicked person. No, I mean, there's some, obviously some connection there. But he's saying, if you disobey the commandments of the Lord, your God, but turn aside out of the ways which I command you this day, go after other gods, which you have not known. So when we get to the book of Deuteronomy, I see this older man. Now, as we learn, we're going to see in the end of the book of Deuteronomy, he wasn't like a man that was normally 120 years old. Usually when you find a guy that's 120 years old, he can't see very well. He can't hear very well. But God has enabled this man to stay healthy all these years. And he the years haven't really taken too much effect on him. Some general information here about the book of Deuteronomy. First, you see the Hebrew name for the fifth book was Hadab Haram. That means the words. And you see this found in verse number 1. Deuteronomy 1:1 says, these be the words which Moses spake unto all of Israel on this side Jordan in the wilderness, in the plain against the Red Sea, between Paran, Tophel, and Laden, and Hazeroth, and Dezida. Now that, and then you see that in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse number 1 there. That's where they get the name of the book in the Hebrew. Here is taken from we get our name from Detros, which means second, and Nomos, which means law. It's the second giving of the law. It's a reminder. Once again, this is a new group. This is a new people. Deuteronomy is the last book of the Pentateuch. Now, that means it's the first five books of the Bible. It's written by Moses, most people believe. I agree with that. All except for maybe the last portion, the last chapter, the last three chapters. Joshua could have written those because it's referring to his death. And when they found it, it was mixed together with the other five on that scroll. So Joshua could have added those. And we're going to see that in a second. The first five books of the Bible were written by Moses. The books are also known as the Torah, referring to the law. This is a book of transition, as it has a fourfold transition for the nation of Israel. It marks the transition to a new generation, a new position, a new living experience, and a new revelation of God. And here's the difference between Deuteronomy and the rest, is the great theme is love and obey. You go through these other four books, and you don't see something in there that talks about God's love. Here in this book here, Moses is sitting down and he's explaining and he's teaching and he comes to the point where he talks about God's love. But I want you to take a minute and let's examine this man who wrote the book. Take your Bible and you can turn to at the last chapter in Deuteronomy chapter 34. Deuteronomy chapter number 34, we got a description of Moses. Once again, I believe this is from Joshua, but here Moses, we got a description of him. Deuteronomy chapter 34. We'll start in verse number 9. It says, and Joshua the son of Nun was full of spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. And see, for me, this is something that's important to help us understand the book. This is one of the keys for understanding the book. Who Moses was, the person who wrote the book, the person who had this intimate relationship with God. It says, in all signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh, to all his servants, and to all his land, all and in all the mighty hand, and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. Now, that is an interesting phrase there when it says that the Lord knew face to face. If you look up here, we are told at the end, they were written by a man who was the greatest prophet Israel had ever seen. You think about that. Prophets. And Joshua probably penned these words underneath the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Greatest prophet ever seen. By a man who witnessed God in a way that no one else witnessed God. Saw God do things and met with God face to face. And the idea in their conversations that they had. Deuteronomy is the final words of Moses to the Israelites. If this man has this great testimony, don't you think that we need to listen to what he has to say? I mean, if it's a man that was met face to face with God, the greatest prophet, and in Deuteronomy, this is his swan song. This is him saying goodbye. This is him teaching this next generation the importance of the law, the importance of the guidelines that are put forth in the law, remembering the things that happened before in the past. This is an important book to remember things by, but these words are different than they were been before in the past. It's Deuteronomy is the final words of Moses to the Israelite, God's chosen people. They are the words that come as a result of God's face-to-face friendship with the man Moses. This friendship has grown over the years. There has been a great progression since God spoke to Moses out of the burning bush. And once again, I want you to try to picture this. This is a man who has walked with God for 80 years. And there is value in an individual who has walked with the Lord and seen God work. You know, a man that you hear this testimony given about him. We need to learn what this man has learned from God and what he now is telling the nation of Israel. There is a difference in Deuteronomy. There are some important facts concerning love revealed to us in this book. From Genesis to Numbers, the love of God is never spoken of. But here we have the wonderful words that we find in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse number 37. It says, "And because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them and brought thee out in his sight with his power out of Egypt." And here you got the first time that the reason why God did this. We understand that because we go to the New Testament and we see, "For God so loved the world," and it speaks so much about the love of God. But here for the first time, Moses is talking about the love of God. And this is why the book of Deuteronomy is different. It speaks a little bit different. Is it reminding us of the same thing? Does it tell us the same story? Yes. What does Moses talk about in Deuteronomy? He say, "Pastor, he's just saying the exact same things. He's saying it to a new generation. And he's putting a little bit of a different spin on it. He's going to put a little different spin on it. The message recorded basically repeats things. But there's a new tone. There's a new emphasis. There's a new atmosphere in the way the stories are given. It's the same stuff as given in one or more of the previous books, just as the little thing is different in Deuteronomy. Why is that? It's because the progression of Moses. As he drew closer to God, you see that now he is saying this message to them, and it is him and his heart reflecting God's heart back. You know, what do we see in the first four books? You think about it. What did you see in the first four books? You saw the sovereignty of God all over. You saw, "I'm God, you're going to listen to me, or you're going to be punished." We saw that God was in complete control of all these things. You saw how God was able to create a world out of nothing. There's nothing God can't do. We saw that. He created man out of dirt, a woman from the rib of man. He saw about the flood. You know, he saw that God was completely able and capable of doing anything. He saw about the Tower of Babel. God changed their speech and sent him everywhere. He saw about Abraham and Sarah having a child past the years and when they should have been able to. He saw the plagues of the Egyptians. He saw the Red Sea. He saw the manna from heaven. He saw the fiery serpents. He saw water from a rock. All in the first four books of the Bible, you saw how God was in complete control of everything. It's sovereignty all through it. But here, he saw justice, judgment, stern statements, God's overruling natural law that he created to aid as well to judge. All this is clearly seen in the first four books. But it's different here in Deuteronomy. It's a little bit different in the idea that it speaks of the reason why we should serve. And the reason why God did what he did. The message from the heart of Moses is not a message of judgment, justice, or the severity of the law. It is God's heart reflected out of his heart. See, Moses has spent so much time with God. And now Moses wants to reflect to this nation, to this generation, the things that God has spoken to him when they've met face to face, when they've talked in these 80 years as they've grown and learned. There's nothing like being able to sit down and spend time with a person who has grown in the walk of the Lord and grown in their walk with God and just be able to sit and listen and learn and glean from them the things that they would want to teach and the things that they want to show. He's reflecting the heart of God out of his own heart. He's speaking to the heart of the people. He's not just demanding obedience because of the fact that he should be obeyed, because of the fact he is sovereign, because he deserves to be saying you need to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. In this book, the word love is mentioned 22 different times because he's trying to speak to the heart of the people. He's trying to grab a hold of the heartstrings and says, this is why you want to serve him, and this is why it's important. You have Moses looking back over his life, and he's seen how he has grown. He looks back and he sees how God has worked. The emphasis is found on God loves you and that God called you and God loves you, and that's why he gave you the law. He wants you to follow his law and sacrifice and fellowship with him. He wants you to give you his blessing upon him. And it will be so magnificent when he blesses you. You will have no other choice but to love him. This is the idea that this is what we're supposed to learn out of the book of Deuteronomy. When we allow God to bless us, when we allow God to use us, when we allow God to work through us, when we draw close to God. Moses learned this personally. When he allowed God to do these things, he had no other choice but to love him as God works and moves in our lives. Take your Bible and look here in Deuteronomy chapter number 4. We mentioned verse 37 already, but I want you to see the verses to follow. Deuteronomy chapter number 4, verse 37. And because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them and brought thee out in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt to drive out nations from before thee, greater and mightier than they are, to bring them in and to give thee their land for an inheritance as it is this day. Now he's referring to here what's going to happen in the future. He's referring to what he wanted to do for the previous generation. Once again, he's talking to their children and their grandchildren. He says, know ye therefore this day and consider in thine heart that the Lord, he is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath, that is none else. The emphasis here is placed on the fact that it began with the idea that God loved them. From the beginning, God loved them. And so what do we draw from there? What do we learn from there? It's the permanent values of this book. It's the thing that we need to grab a hold of. God's redemption of Israel was due to his love for them. The only reason why God did what he did was out of a love for them. The reason why he brought them out of the nation of Egypt, the reason why he called Abraham, was a love for them. And this is a redemptive heart here. But also, God's regulation concerning Israel was a result of his love. Now, this is the part that people have struggles with. But this is what he's trying to teach the new generation. The reason why God gives you regulations, the reason why God's giving them the law, the reason why God's giving them these responsibilities and these different separation things and these different feast things, it's because it's what's best for them. The reason why the book of Leviticus was there wasn't because God's some big meanie up in the sky and says, I don't want anybody to have any fun. He tells us this because of the fact that it's what's best for us. You think about alcohol. You think some people say, well, the reason why God tells you that you're not allowed to drink is because of the fact that it's fun. He doesn't want you to do that because it's enjoyable. God's not trying to take away your fun. God saved you from a place called hell, and God's trying to give you the best life possible. And what God's trying to do, he knows what alcohol, he knows the addiction, he knows the old flesh, he knows what alcohol will ruin your lives and things like that. And that's why God tells you, don't do this and do this. He puts the law out there. Why does he put the law out there? It's out of his love. The whole reason why they brought him out of Israel was due to his love. We're all okay for that. We're all okay to say, okay, God loved me so much that he sent his son down the cross to die for me. And because of that, I have a way to heaven. That's God's love. But God's love is also about the thou shalt not. And what we're not supposed to do. And what we are supposed to do. Because of the fact that's his show of love. Here's what happens because of unbelief. It's what Moses is telling him. Look, because of your parents and your grandparents, unbelief. You know what happened? God had to judge them. And because God had to judge them, they had to learn. If you would have listened, you wouldn't have had to experience it. That's what he's teaching this new group, this new generation. Remember the problems that your parents and grandparents had. If they would have listened, God loved them and God wanted them to do what was right and God desired for them if they would have just obeyed. We go down here, he's trying to tell them, learn your lesson. If you get over there, he's talking about the promised land. If you get over there, you will not last. You will get punished again. He's saying, learn from your mistakes. This is the message from the man of God, from speaking out of the heart of God to the heart of the people. You need to learn these things because it's what's best for you. It's his desire for you. And this is not because he's trying to rob you of some joy. What does he say? Your joy will be filled if you will learn to love him and keep his commandments. That we've been learning about in John chapter 15. That you can experience joy. You can experience peace. You can experience all those things. And we hear that in the New Testament. But here is the first time in the Old Testament we hear that these are the reasons why God saved us. And these are the reasons why God gave us the law. Take your Bibles here and look here in Deuteronomy chapter number 10. Deuteronomy chapter number 10. Deuteronomy chapter number 10. You look at verses 12 through 15 and it says, "And now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul." You say, "Pastor, you've said that. You know, this is my idea of my loving him." But what did we see those first verses that we learned? What does God put before us? He's saying, look, there's a blessing and there's a curse. And he says, if you want to do what's best, you want to do what's right, you want to obey me, that's what's going to be blessed. That's what's best for your life. And you keep on going, verse number 12. "Now Israel, what doth the Lord your God require thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, and which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God. Amen. The earth also with all that therein is." Now look at the end of verse number 13. Look what it says. It says, "I command thee this day." See, Pastor, I thought you said it wasn't about commandments. He's saying it's for your best. It says for thy good. Amen. You know, so many times people try to rob us from this idea that you got to live by certain stipulations, certain regulations, and certain laws, certain rules. You're not under the law anymore. You should be able to have the freedom to do whatever you want to do. But God is telling them, this is what's best for them. And in our Christian walk, it's what's best for them. And you think about alcohol. You know what? I had as much alcohol today as I wanted to. I didn't have any. Amen. And you want to know why? It's because it's not what's best for me. I've had the most alcohol in my life than I've ever wanted to. I've never had any. And you know why? It's because it's God told me it's not what's best for me. And that's what's best for you. I know you use alcohol, but let's you know, we get down nitty gritty. We start talking about different things in our lives, the things we look at, the things we watch. You know, our old flesh does desire things, but it's not what's best for us. And if our heart is reflective towards God, and that's what Moses, this older man for 80 years has been walking with the Lord. He got called out of that burning bush. He said, "Hey, look, you need to go do this." And he learned, and Moses is like, who am I supposed to say sent me? He says, "I am." And then at that moment in time, God began to teach him and show him. Imagine what Moses saw those 80 years. All those things he went through, all those things he experienced. That walk through the wilderness, that Red Sea experience, the 10 plagues, all those things. And now he is sitting down and saying to these people, one last time, look, you need to serve God. Not just because he's sovereign. You need to learn how to love God because it's what's best for you. He's not giving you something that is trying to take away your fun. He's not trying to make you different from other nations so that way he can ruin you and take away the fun of your children. He's doing this because of the fact that he loves you. That's the reason why he called you out. And that's the reason why he's given you these laws. That's the reason why he's given you those thou shalt nots. That's the reason why he tells us in his word, don't do this, but do this. And all through, there is great liberty. And the psalmist talks about this. There's great liberty in walking in the laws of the Lord. There's great liberty in saying, I want to do what's best because I love the Lord. I want to do this because I love him. That's the reason why I live. That's the reason why I serve, because I want to glorify him. And what he says is truth, that's what I want to do. So that's the permanent value. And this is a permanent value. It's something that we learn. It's permanent. It never changes. That's what the book of Deuteronomy about is today. That's what Moses talked about thousands of years ago. It applies to us today. God loves us, and God wants what's best for us because God loves us. He saves us. He doesn't save us by his love, but because he loves us, he saves us. And because God loves us still, he gives us regulations concerning Israel. You know, my youngest son, he's starting to get into, because of some of the influence of some different men around the church, he started getting into hunting, and he purchased his first gun. And he's excited about that. He says, "Pastor, you let your son have a gun?" And he says, "You're crazy." Well, some people think he's crazy. I made him wait till he's 13. I mean, some people think he should have had one when he was 5. But that's a whole different thing. But it would be unwise for me to say, "Here, you can have this. Do what you want with it." But there were a lot of rules, a lot of regulations, a lot of things he had to learn about, had to go through to experience it. Because I would have been foolish to just say, "Here, take this. Here's the bullets. Go out and try to shoot something." That would have been foolish. I gave him regulations, rules. Why did I do that? It's because I loved him. Because I wanted to see what was best for him. And that's what God is saying to these people. I got the nation, I got the promised land sitting in front of you. The land filled with milk and honey. The ones that had the grapes the size of a head. I mean, all this wonderful things. But I just can't let you do what you want with it. I gotta teach you and show you what you need to do with it. And it goes back to Leviticus. He's trying to say, be rightly related. And that's why God gives us authorities. And that's why God gives us things. And God teaches us and guides us. So what's the living truth? That was the sovereign value or truth. Living truth. Man loves God. Man's love for God is the motive for obedience. Man's love for God should be our motive for obedience. That's when he says, "Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might." It's found here in Deuteronomy for the first time. Amen. It's the greatest of the commandments.
Yes, it is.
And it's because of the fact that out of a love for him, I want to be obedient. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Why do we want to do that? It's because he first loved us.
Amen.
You know, it's not that hard to understand. Now, it is difficult to live. And because we have the flesh, because we have the old nature on us, you know, it is something that is not the easiest to do, but it's definitely worthwhile. God loves us. He saved us. He gave us these guidelines because he loves us. Because why? It was what was best for us. And that's what this older man is sitting here telling this group. You know, it's not about if you do wrong, God's going to smash you. It's not the idea that, hey, remember when the serpents did this and God took out those thousands of people. And he's saying, look, because he did what was right and what was best for you, learn how to love him now. Learn your lesson now. Okay. You say, what's the outline of the book, Pastor? Well, here's some different things here that I think will be a breakdown. It's the history of Israel. Once again, it's a backward look. The holiness of Israel, referring to the law, is the inward look, looking inwardly. The heritage of Israel is to look forward. And you see the hero of Israel right at this point in time, a man who lived very heroically in the idea of Moses. It's an upward look. So you gotta break down the book there. And Moses gives a perspective of the look here in Deuteronomy chapter 31. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 31. And at the end, after he tells him this and he teaches him this and preaches this to him, he says, look, I know you're going to mess up. That's not very encouraging, is it? He says, I know you're going to mess up. And that's what he says at the end. But he teaches him something. He teaches him about how the love of God will triumph over their unfaithfulness. How God will continue on loving them. Let's look at what it says here in Deuteronomy chapter 31. Look in verse number 24. It came to pass when Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book till they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites, which bear the Ark of the Covenant on the Lord, saying, take this book of the law and put it in the side of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. And now look what it says in verse 27. He says, for I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. He says, I know what you're like. And he says, behold, while I was yet alive with you this day, you have been rebellious against the Lord. And how much more after my death? He says, I know what's coming. I know you're going to rebel. He says, gather unto me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears and call heaven and earth to record against them. For I know that after my death you will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you. And evil will befall you in the latter days, because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. He say, Pastor, that doesn't sound very encouraging. He says he knew them. He wanted them to understand something. I know you're going to mess up, but I want to teach you something. He wanted to teach them something through the song. He wrote a song, and the word love is not mentioned in it, but it breathes the spirit of love from beginning to end. It's a song of triumph over unfaithfulness. You think about there's many love songs that have been written about someone who has allowed triumph over unfaithfulness. He says, I don't remember songs like that. Well, you know, you turn on the country western station, they play songs, and I don't think you should listen to that garbage, but it talks about how you know, the love, they stuck with it. You know, see, this is the triumphing. This is a deep truth about God. God's love will always triumph over your unfaithfulness. He still loves you. Moses chose this to be the theme of his final song. Generation after generation, the people would know that God loves them through this song. He taught them this song. And what he wants to teach them was, when you mess up, God will still love you. He wants you to return to him. He wants you to learn from your mistakes. He wants you to grow in your walk. Don't you think Moses knew that better than anybody else? Watching this and seeing this happen, watching the Lord be patient, watching the Lord be kind, and watching the Lord, just be forgiving in different things. You know, Moses wants to teach that to them. You know, so when they're singing this song or when they're repeating these things, they'll hopefully be reminded. Why do we sing those songs? Why do we sing songs today? If you read the words while you're singing, they're supposed to encourage, motivate your heart to want to live what's right and do what's right. Sing praises to God for how good he is to us. And that's what Moses is teaching them. I'll teach you this song because I want you to remember this. Even when you mess up, God's love will triumph over that. God will still love you. And as a believer, God does love you. And God's love will triumph. He said, but God brings us through chastisement. It's out of a love for you. He doesn't want you to live that way. He doesn't want you to continue on that way. So the book of Deuteronomy is different. You got the first four books. You see the providence of God. You see me, God, you creature, you obey. This is the way you can fellowship with me. This is the way you can be right with me. This is the way. Here in Deuteronomy, after Moses has learned all these things, he says to him, look, God loves you. Serve him because he loves you. Serve him because of what he's done for you. Love him with all your heart. And it's a whole different spin over the other books. And it's still part of the law here, and we're going to put it back in there. It's a reminder of the things we're supposed to do, but it's a reminder of why we're supposed to do it and why God's done it for us. It's out of a love for him. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for the opportunity to be able to come to your house. Lord, I pray you speak to people's hearts today.